The Catholic Agency to Support Evangelisation, or CASE as it's known, held a one-day symposium on the theme of faith and culture on the 5th of October 2009. The final speaker was Father David Evans. Father Evans addressed the topic of sacramentality and culture. We join the speech about 5 minutes in. For the opening segment, download the PDF version from the website.
Those positions then, eclecticism, historicism and so on, these are intellectual standpoints. And Pope John Paul II regretted them because of their betrayal of reason, because he didn't think that they took the capacities of reason seriously enough. They didn't understand the fullness of what reason can achieve. But he also opposed them because they, individually and together, present a dismal vision of the reality of being human. So the Pope objected to them not just because they happened to be intellectually deficient, but because the image of the reality, the human reality that they conjure up, is a sorrowful one, is not the truth. Part of the Pope's project in this encyclical was to offer a positive view of human beings. And that view of human beings includes this, that they are urged by the question as to the meaning of life, what does our life mean? Urged by that question to embark on a search for truth, goodness and beauty that would lead to an encounter with the persons of the Trinity. And he commended modern philosophy for putting the person at its centre, because this allows us to see that the human quest is the search of persons for a person. And so in Fides et Ratio number 33, he says, "From all I have said to this point, it emerges that men and women are on a journey of discovery which is humanly unstoppable, a search for the truth, and a search for a person to whom they might entrust themselves. Christian faith comes to meet them, offering the concrete possibility of reaching the goal that they seek." And so there's this image which lies in the heart of Fides et Ratio of humanity and God reaching out to each other for an encounter of persons. And in the Christian faith, in which embodies in a way the person of Christ, what human beings are sought for are found. What human beings are seeking for are found. It would be appropriate in the light of this, then, I believe, to see human culture in its many forms as a product of this search. So where does human culture come from? It comes from this search for the truth, goodness and beauty. And to some extent, as prompted by the Spirit, to express the image of God in humanity, restored by baptism, but also marred by sin. So the culture which humanity produces has the good and the bad in it. And so there is a sense in which the presence of God is already there. In a way, then, human culture is one of the ways in which humanity cries to God. The culture that we live in expresses what it is to be human. And the culture that we produce is one of the ways in which we make ourselves known to God, the way in which we display ourselves to God as the sort of persons that we are. It's both a spontaneous and a constructed display of human achievements and failures, goodness and sin. And God's response comes through the gospel, in which Jesus discloses the truth, goodness and beauty of the being of God and invites men and women to make their home within them. And so the one who evangelizes, it seems to me, may be a spokesperson for a culture and a humble critic of it. So it's part of the evangelizer's task, if you like, to be familiar with the culture in which they live or the particular element of the culture where their work is being done, a humble critic of it, because we're aware of the rights and the wrongs, as well as the voice of the gatekeeper of the sheepfold, where the sheep go freely in and out. So the spokesperson for the culture, but also the gatekeeper for the kingdom. And that leads me to the next part of what I want to say, which is to think of the one who evangelizes as a guide. So by recording the works of Pope John Paul II in Fides et Ratio, I've shed a positive light on human culture while being aware of the darkness that mars it. I've thought of human culture as one of the ways in which human beings cry to God. In this way, men and women make themselves known to God, and after reflection, to themselves. So there needs to be a reflection on the culture in which we live, so that we have an understanding of what it means to be human. Part of what it is to be human is expressed in the culture we construct. I've also suggested that it may be fruitful to think of the one who evangelizes as standing on the threshold of that culture, as well as being a gatekeeper of God's kingdom, equipped to facilitate access to the kingdom for those who freely seek it. And I shall now develop these ideas by addressing the metaphor of the one who evangelizes as guide. Now, although I've said that the gospel is God's response to the human cry articulated in human culture, the primary truth, of course, is that God and his kingdom existed before human culture, and that from the beginning, God disclosed himself to the men and women he created. So what I'm setting up in a sense here is a horizon of divine revelation in which sacramentality also has a place. Divine revelation has many facets, but it's essentially all the ways in which God communicates with his creatures. And sacramentality fits into the framework of revelation, and I shall come to that a bit later. The point that I want to make now is that the one who brings the gospel is a guide to God's kingdom, as well as a sympathetic yet critical spokesperson for human culture. Now, the sort of guide I'm thinking of is a person employed, say, by the National Trust. So somebody who's a guide in a historic building, say, someone of that sort, employed by the National Trust to conduct people around historic houses. And that person may be well informed about the building she shows people around, familiar with the layout, the furnishings, the history of the building, and perhaps acquainted with some of the family anecdotes and the more prominent among the people who lived in the house. And there's no reason why that person shouldn't be a very good guide to the building that they're showing people around. But there's another sort of guide who could be, as sometimes happens, the owners of the house themselves. And they're likely to know the house better, to speak with more understanding of the family traditions, to be more at ease with their surroundings, and have the sort of lightly worn authority that goes with naturally acquired familiarity. And however impressed visitors may be with a guide of the first sort, they're likely to feel that they have received better value and a more authentic view of things if they've been shown round by the second kind of guide. It was really nice, Lord and Lady so-and-so, they showed us round their own house, you know. They showed us things that we wouldn't have seen if we'd just been with the guide. Those sort of, you can see the contrast I'm trying to draw in there, a sort of easy familiarity with the ways and the history of the family. Now, one way of thinking of Jesus would be to see him as a guide of this sort. Jesus is the guide to his Father's house. He comes, a human being, made man, so that he can show us what the Father's house is like. He's the one totally at home in his Father's house, who invited his contemporaries to admire God's surroundings and make their home within them. And in the terms of the comparison between the two sorts of guide, it might then be thought that the one who evangelizes might more resemble the person employed by the National Trust. And while that might be so, in fact, the one who crosses the threshold of God's kingdom with men and women eager to discover it needs to aspire to be the same sort of guide as Jesus himself. Okay, so I've drawn a comparison between two sorts, and I've cheated somewhat by saying the second sort is Jesus. You might now think I'm going to say the first sort is the one who evangelizes. But I really want to say that the evangelizers also must try to be as familiar with the kingdom of God as Jesus is himself, if we're going to do justice to what God has to offer. Jesus, the Word made flesh, understands both human beings and God. The evangelizer is called to merge knowledge of God and humanity in a similar way. And so one might say that one of the characteristics of the one who evangelizes is wisdom. Such a person needs to be able to visualize, to see in the way that Claire was talking about this morning, to visualize who God is and what his purpose is, as well as to appreciate sympathetically what being human involves and how the two realities might be brought together.
That was part one of three of Father David Evans' address on sacramentality and culture. Click on part two to continue.